make some noise in this place tonight for Jesus. Oh, somebody make some noise for Jesus. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. Let the young women praise God. Let the handmaidens praise God. Let the young men praise Him. Let everything that hath breath, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. My, 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 what an awesome presence of God I can feel in this place tonight. Like the prophet, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We didn't come here tonight, like we said this morning, just to play church. We came to have church. Look at somebody next to you and say, I've got a river of living water springing up on the inside of me. If you're a visitor, we're so glad that you're here to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with us. If you think this worship is a little over the top, I've got news for you. If we were just celebrating the president, maybe this would be a little excessive. If we were just celebrating Alabama winning a national championship, this might be over the top. If we were just coming together to talk about LSU's baseball team winning or the Miami Heat winning, this would be over the top. But we're talking about things that transcend finite existence. We're talking about, I've got a river of living water springing up on the inside of me. I've got something inside of me that the President of the United States couldn't give me, that Alabama couldn't give me, that Dead Bear Bryant couldn't give me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Time is it? It's 7:30. Wow. I've got an hour and a half. And I got a feeling we're just going to have church. Y'all might as well just stay on the organ and stay on the piano because we're going to have some church tonight. You know, so what you feel here tonight, what does it take to get here? What is the price tag on what you feel tonight? Matthew chapter 26, verse 6. This is not my text. This is not my sermon, but I'm about to preach for just a minute. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Oh, no, no, no. There we go. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head. As he set at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. Between the ages of 11 and 30 in this church, unmarried, youth group, college and career group, we have about 60 to 70 kids. Just look. Can you look in this direction for me? You see this group right in here? You know what they do? They don't play sports. They don't go to the movies. They don't date. This is just an advertisement for our in-house policies. If you're a guest, you can do what you want. They group date. As a matter of fact, we teach them that it's not a good idea for a man to touch a woman. So we don't send them driving down the interstate in a car with a girl or guy, whatever, alone. They don't go hang out with a member of the opposite sex alone. Our young ladies go to school in skirts because the Bible tells us it's a shame for a woman to wear that which pertaineth to a man. In this nation, for a long time, that was preached across the board. But as erosion has happened in our culture, a lot of the things that we still teach have fallen away. I've come to tell somebody tonight, there's a price tag on a move of God. I just want to let you know something. To have peace in your life, there's a price tag. To have hope in your life, there's a price that you have to pay. But I've got news for you. I was raised in the church. The girl that I married was the only girl that I ever held hands with. She was the only girl that I've got to tell you something. I've got a peace in my life that passes all understanding. So pardon me, I just want to qualify everything that you see tonight. You come into a multicultural church in the middle of racially divided Birmingham. We're singing Hispanic songs. We're singing black gospel. We got white folks singing Spanish lyrics that don't know Spanish. We got, in the middle of a Spanish song, we got a black guy rapping in Spanish and in English. What is this? There's a price tag. Because sometimes when people are given a crazy praise, something that cost them, you can feel it. But the disciples are looking at Jesus and they're having indignation. That she's not in the in crowd. She's a prostitute. She's somebody who just kind of broke her way into the party. And she came in with an expensive praise. And everybody's looking at her saying, what means this waste? I've come to tell you something. For you to feel what you feel here tonight costs us something. But what we've paid, what we've laid down, cannot compare to the joy, to the peace, to the hope. I've got a river. And I just want to qualify, if I know there are no critics here tonight, but if there is a critic in the house that might sit back and try to negotiate with me about whether or not it cost what it cost. If you want to have a move of God, it's going to cost you something. David said, I refuse to sacrifice to God in a field I didn't buy with my own money. He said, you can donate a lot of stuff to my life, but don't donate something to me that involves my worship to my God. I'm going to put a deposit down. I'm going to put a down payment down on my praise. I didn't come here tonight to impress you. I came here tonight to have a move of God. You see these kids? They sacrifice all week. They go to school and live holiness. I give you guys liberty for the next 30 seconds just to have a crazy praise break. Just to let the world know I came here to have a move of God. I came here to... Listen, Listen, I'm a youth and college and career pastor. I want you to come up and ask me how you keep kids off of drugs today. Does it take all that? Oh, yeah. How do you keep kids in the church on a Sunday night excited about the things of God? Stop selling them something fake and give them something real. Stop trying to sell them the ball game and give them a Jesus that's worth shouting about. Give them something to commit themselves for. Give them something to keep their virginity for. Give them something. So we don't hang out on Friday nights and watch movies. We don't hang out. We have prayer meeting. We have church. We have a move of God, don't we? Sunday morning in these classes. They're not trying to keep your kids out of hell. They're sending your kids back into hell. It's time for us to flip the switch and just to go ahead and push back against the devil. It's time for us to turn this thing over on its head and say, you know what? You can criticize all you want, but I've got news for you. I've got something to shout about. I've got something to praise about. I've got something to live holy about. Ah, he's great and greatly to be praised. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Somebody praise him. Somebody lift him up. Somebody. What does it cost to have a move of God? It just costs you everything. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you better go ahead and lay it down. Lay your life down. Take up your cross. Follow me. I can't stand that voice I feel in the Holy Ghost. That spirit that says, does it take all of this? Oh, yeah, it takes all of this. For people to get delivered from drugs, it takes all of this. For people to get delivered from alcohol, it takes all of this. For people to have a breakthrough in their marriage, it takes all of this. Let me just tell you about me. When I was 2 years old, or somewhere in the 1 to 3 range, my mom and dad were split up. What they found in the Catholic Church didn't help their marriage. Tradition couldn't fix them. What they found in a denominational church experience couldn't set them free. There were generational things that had plagued my family for a long time. And what was going on in the world around them couldn't help them. Am I telling the truth, Dad? He had already made up his mind. He was done with it. He was moving on. But my mama stumbled upon a couple of apostolics. My grandmother had already gone in and gotten the Holy Ghost. Listen, when she got the Holy Ghost, she spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. We were a crazy, mixed up family. You got to understand where we come from. I know you got a story, but I'm telling mine. I'm still a little crazy, but I was then too. What our family needed, they couldn't find. My dad couldn't find in a bar room. He couldn't find in a joint. He couldn't find in a denominational, a dead church experience. He needed to be born again. What you got to understand about the birthing process is you have never been, and listen, I know because I'm a dad, but you've never been in a delivery room where it was real quiet. Listen, you got somebody over there saying, baby, keep going, keep going, keep doing what you're doing, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a good job. You got somebody else over here just fanning. Oh, you going to be all right? And I got the coal rag on her head, and she, oh, 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 keep coming. Come on, come on. You're doing good. You're doing good. When somebody's being born into this world, there's a lot of noise in the room. As a matter of fact, you got Grammy over in the corner crying. She don't even know why she's crying. She's just crying. She's excited that she's going to have a new grandbaby. And she didn't come there planning to cry, but she's crying. Tonight, you got all kind of stuff happening in this place. You got people over here fanning. You got somebody falling out in the middle of the floor travailing. What I'm trying to tell you is what you need in your life, you're not going to get in a dead church experience. You need to just belly up to the bar and taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Justin, the kind of trouble we were in, you can't fix it in therapy. AA couldn't do nothing for us. Yeah, they could fix the surface problems, but they couldn't get down into the spirit and to the soul like we talked about this morning, that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The problem is there are a lot of places around this city where the word ain't quick or powerful. That word quick means it's alive. That word quick means when you start to speak the word of God, something begins to happen. Just like in creation, when the spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep and it hovered over the waters, there was a sizzling that started to happen. There was a shaking that started to happen. And all of a sudden, there's some people here tonight. What you need in your life is you just need a breakthrough. You just need to put your tradition on the side for a few minutes and just let God move in your life. You need to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. You got to be born of the water and of the spirit. He said, how can I be born again? Because he's looking at it through the natural lens. But Jesus is saying, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. But marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And then he tells you about this process. He said, people who are born of the spirit, he said, they're a little bit like the wind. The problem is there are a lot of churches around this city where nobody's like the wind. It's static, it's stationary, it's immovable. The worship is internal and not external. There's no manifestation. But I've got news for you. I want to tell you something. When the Spirit of God began to move upon creation, and when the Word of God began to go forth, there was nothing that creation could do to stop the movement. There were things popping and bursting and shaking and moving and emerging and beginning to break forth. When life breaks forth, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. I've got a sermon to preach tonight. Brother Dennis, this just never gets old for me. Because I once was lost. I did not have a prayer. Even after I got in the church, I looked at myself in the mirror sometimes and thought, you know what? You ain't gonna be nothing. You got issues. I still think sometimes I got, but the Lord, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Word of God is still working on me. Hallelujah. Come on, is there a testimony in this place tonight? God's still working on me. God's still making me into what? One of these days, this mortal man is going to put on immortality. This carnal flesh is going to be resurrected. And then I'm going to look at death and I'm going to say, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Psalms chapter 46. Great to have all our guests in the house tonight. Don't go anywhere. Psalms 46, beginning in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. He said, think about it. I ain't studying nothing that's happened in my life. If the earth goes crazy, if culture goes nuts and throws in the towel, if everybody around me is committing suicide and giving up, I have a refuge in God. He's a very present help in time of trouble. I don't care if the mountains roar. I don't care if they shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God's going to help her. Somebody say, right early. Has anybody ever found God to be a help right early? Has anybody ever had some help early in your life? Anybody ever been through some trouble and God showed up early? I've come to tell you, God won't come late. He's going to come on time, but every now and then he shows up early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Right now, why don't you put your Bible down and just lift up your hands. And I want you to let God know from the depth of your heart how thankful you are for his word and for his presence tonight. Somebody make it rain in here for just a moment. Tell God, God, you're good to us. You're merciful, God. You're gracious, God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love, oh God. Anoint the remainder of this service. Anoint every heart, every life. Fill us all to the overflowing with your spirit. In the name of Jesus, let your word go forth, God. Speak in prophecy to your people today, O God. God bless you. You can do whatever you want to do for the remainder of the service. We're open to flips and jumps and running and shouting. The only thing we're not all that excited about is a lack of amen. Because amen says, let it be so with me. And anytime the word is going forth, I want to have an amen in my spirit. God, let it be so, whatever your word says. It's like Eli, when judgment came to his house, he said, you know what? Let it be so. If it's judgment, God, let it be so. Whatever you will, I know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to the purpose of God, according to his purpose. Water is the most important element on earth. It is literally from the water of a mother's womb that life begins. Our bodies are made up of 70% water, and the earth is covered by the same percentage, by 70% of water. Most plant life is actually almost 90% water. Water is the most elemental ingredient for life, which we have to continually take in order to survive. The nutrients found in water are essential for the sustaining of human existence. Water continually circulates between the surface of the earth and its atmosphere in what is called the hydrologic cycle. Responding to heat energy from the sun, water in oceans and lakes and swamps and rivers, plants, and even in your body can turn
into water vapor. As water evaporates into the atmosphere, it accumulates, it falls down the mountains, flows down into rivers and streams, and in the process accumulates nutrients and vitamins and minerals, furnishing the valleys with life-sustaining substance. As this happens, waste is removed, it's taken into the ocean and disposed of, turning back into vapor and completing the cycle. It is this process, this cycle, that allows the entire planet to maintain life in its current state. Rivers are one of the most important structures in natural existence. They are very similar to the circulatory system in the human body. The natural function of a river is to take the nutrients, the life-giving substance that falls on the mountaintop, down into the valley. Rivers are used for drinking water, transportation, as a food source. The greatest cultures and civilization in history were built around rivers and other bodies of water. For many people, they get into the valley of despair in their life. They get down into a low place. They get down into a place that's filled with shadows. And they discover at that point that they don't have a river coming down out of the mountaintop, flowing down into their trouble. Rivers are a central theme in Scripture, especially in the Psalms. The poet and prophet and teacher and preacher David. Psalms 1, verse 1, blessed is the man. I could have one of our astute and intelligent, wise Bible quizzers stand up and quote this passage. For the sake of time, I'll quote it. Blessed, I'll tell you what, I won't. Psalms 1 and 1, somebody stand up and quote it with anointing and power. Somebody else, verse 2, Micah. Psalms. Quote. But his delight. And in his law doth he meditate. And he shall. Who? His leaf. And whatsoever. But the ungodly. But are like the chaff. Thank you. We should have started in Proverbs tonight. That's this year. I learned this passage in Bible quizzing like 20 years ago. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. How does a tree function that's planted by the rivers of water? He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly, they are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There is a secret place, a fluid river experience that separates us from the world around us, giving life and purpose and meaning. Somebody say amen. Amen. And David again in Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How do the paths of the righteous look? They go down beside the still waters. We use this passage of scripture to console people when they're at the graveyard or when they are at the hospital. But I come to tell somebody tonight that we don't believe you have to wait till you're in your hospital bed to need these passages of scripture. You see, what we are doing is we are creating a reality that allows us to have a river experience every day of our life. You don't want to wait till you get to the graveyard to make a decision to create a river experience in your life. You don't want to wait till you're going through the valley of the shadow of death to have the current of the Spirit of God. But I've come to tell you tonight, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. God said, when you prove me, I've come to offer somebody an olive branch tonight and tell you, you need a taste and see tonight. You need a drink from the waters tonight. You need to create a stream, a river of life coming through your valley. The valley is inevitable. The Bible says time and chance happen to us all. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. I don't care how intelligent you are. I don't care what part of town you live in. I don't care where you went to school and how many degrees you have on the wall or how much money you have in the bank. You've got an appointment with death and you've got an appointment with God. You might as well go ahead and allow the Spirit of God to start to flow into your life now. You might as well let the nutrients and the minerals from off of the mountaintop of God begin to flow down the mountain and into the valley of your life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's the source of the water, but he's also the great shepherd. He's there in the valley with us. And because the stream is there, and because the covenant is there, and because righteousness is there, it allows us to have an experience with God in the middle of our valley. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. What you've come tonight and you see in this place is a lot of people. We may not have everything together in terms of natural things, but you've got a lot of people sitting around you tonight who they just holding out their cup to God one more time and saying, God, fill me up. God, give me your water. God, give me to drink. I just want to drink again. God, I just want you to fill my cup until it's running over one more time. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Doesn't matter how bad it gets. I've got friends behind me. They got my back. Goodness and mercy. We're hanging together. When it's good, we're hanging together. When I was sitting up with Paul last week, when I was sitting up with Paul and he was having that death rattle down in his chest, I had goodness and mercy with me. I had never been in a situation like that before. I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death and I was experiencing things I had never experienced before. But I felt an undergirding strength of the Holy Ghost. I felt the presence and the power of God. I felt goodness flowing down the mountain of God and into my life. We talked about it this morning. Dawson mentioned it. I talked about it a little bit. We went down to the graveyard, but there's something about standing next to somebody, standing next to a casket where that person is full of the Holy Ghost. In his last days, when he was in and out of consciousness, and at one point where he could no longer speak to us, when they started to sing and worship God, when they started to pray with him, and I'm talking about the babies were singing with him, and Sister Sutton and the girls were singing and gathered around and praying with him, he lifted that feeble hand, didn't even open his eyes, and started talking in tongues. There's a peace. There is a peace that settles over your life when even in a subconscious state, you have an instinct to begin to cry out to God. So we don't weep like the world weeps. We understand that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning time because I've got a river of living water flowing in my life. Rivers are the natural result of an overflow at the top. The hydrologic cycle involves water falling as rain upon the mountaintop and then flowing down the mountain and into the rivers and then settling into the ocean. If there's any breakdown in this process, life is extinguished at some point downstream. When this cycle is incomplete or broken, animate and sentient life begins to die off. This is what happened in the Garden of Eden. Sin stopped the flow of nutrients that flowed from the fellowship with the Spirit of God that sustained life, and it cut off the flow from God to man. Mankind began the process of death when he was cut off from fellowship with God. Rivers are the structures that bring what is above to the entire world beneath, the world that is dependent on that life source in order to sustain its existence. Even in the process of creation, the very first thing that emerged from the spirit word combination was this mercurial and fluid substance called water. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and he divided the waters beneath from the waters above. And the waters above he called heaven, and the waters beneath he called earth. Which water is primary? Is it the water above, or is it the water beneath? Above. One sustains natural life, and the other gives spiritual life. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the river in the natural is a symbol to us. It's a metaphor. It's speaking to us that there is another river. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world. Invisible things are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse, or they are without excuse. So the reality of it is the visible world is declaring the invisible, not the other way around. So then life is a spiritual reality, and it's manifest in the physical world. Science will tell you, if you can't categorize it, if it can't be proven, then it's not real. But it's actually the other way around. If you can see it, if it can be categorized, then it proves or validates what cannot be seen. There is an invisible world that is the type or the template for everything that is manifest visibly. So just like the rivers in natural life are the conduit, the circulatory system of all of created life, there is a spiritual river that flows from the throne of God. Somebody say, a spiritual river. Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Who is this speaking of? This is speaking of the church of the living God. This is speaking of those upon whom he has poured out his spirit, and upon whom he has written his name. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? There's coming a day when we're going to stand before him, and we're going to see a crystal river for the healing of the nations. And there won't be any more sickness, and there won't be any more disease, and he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. They shall see his face, and I am so looking forward to seeing the face of my Creator. And his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and forever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. Let me explain something to you. When you tap into these spiritual realities, they are faithful and they are true. I don't care what culture tells you. I don't care where you go to church and get a pamphlet from some guy who came out of the Reformation. I've come to tell somebody, the word of God is true and it is faithful. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but not one jot or tittle of the word of God. It is forever settled in the heavens, and it is faithful and it is true. There, somebody say, there is a river. There is a river. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed them to me. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Let me tell you something. The people that are stacked up in heaven will not be people who signed a church card. They won't be people who just passed through a regular church process. They will be a group of people who are faithful to the word of God. If you want to make your reservation in heaven, buy the truth and sell it not. If you want to be standing there, you got to put his name on your forehead. What is his name?
Jesus.
What is his name?
Jesus.
He said, seal the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his, everybody say, work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am the root and the offspring. Ah, God, I've come to tell somebody tonight, when you see Jesus, you see the Father. The disciples said, Jesus, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Jesus said, look at me. Have I been so long with you that you don't know me? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How are you so ignorantly saying, show me the Father? Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. When you've seen him, you've seen the Father. If you want to pray to the Father, pray to Jesus, because he is the I Am. I, singular pronoun, I am Alpha and Omega. I am first, invisible creator God, and last. Of David, I am root and offspring. I'm the source and I'm the product at the very same time. The Bible tells us that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus. Jesus was not in the Godhead. All of the Godhead dwelt bodily in him. So whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Because Matthew 28:19, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name is singular. It's one. He's unique and special. He said, beside me, there is no other. What is the name of the Father?
Jesus.
What is the name of the Son?
Jesus.
What's the name of the Holy Ghost?
Jesus.
And all these three. A virgin shall conceive. I love the word of God. My word. It's a fail safe. There is no error in God. There is no there is no variableness in him, neither shadow of turning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 1 and 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one God. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is numero uno. He's only one. He's one God. He's one God in the beginning. He's one God manifest through the Word. And he's one God manifest in flesh. He's one God. So, from the throne of God, from the Alpha, singular throne. How many thrones are there in heaven?
One.
How many sitting in the throne?
One.
Alpha and Omega, one throne. From the throne of God flows a river. You see, there's a substance that we have access to tonight. It really defies logic. It doesn't make sense for you to act the way that you did tonight. But my salvation doesn't make linear chronological sense. It doesn't. In Scripture, the Jordan River was the life source that brought the nutrients from off of the mountain of God. But at the end of the Jordan River sits the Dead Sea. It may seem hard to believe, but this region at one point used to be a well-watered area, as lush and attractive as the Garden of Eden. You hear Lot talking about this. He's standing in this region around the Jordan and the Dead Sea, what before it was the Dead Sea, and he's looking at it and he's analyzing it and he decides to dwell there because it's well-watered. And that passage in Genesis tells us it was well-watered like the Garden of Eden. But God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah changed the area's fertility to a desolate expanse that represented judgment on sin. And you can, for your own reference, read Genesis 13 and 10 and Deuteronomy 29 and 23 and Jeremiah 17 and 6. The Dead Sea in this judgment from God lost its outflow. At that point, all visible life was suspended and the nutrients were left within this body of water to become stagnant. A stagnant lake or body of water left without an outlet. The Dead Sea has many names throughout history. Scripture referred to it as the Salt Sea and the Sea and the Eastern Sea. Other designations in history include the Sea of Asphalt, the Stinking Sea, and the Devil's Sea. The evaporation hovering over the Dead Sea gives a constant haze over its surface. And it's very reminiscent of the furnace-like smoke that rose from the valley after God destroyed Sodom in Genesis chapter 19. Today, the sea represents the remnant of God's judgment against sin. But one day, Scripture promises, the Dead Sea is going to live again. When Jesus rules the earth in the millennium kingdom, water will flow from Jerusalem's Temple Mount, and fishermen will line the banks of the Dead Sea. In Zechariah 14, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. And the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. So when all of the nations of the earth come against Israel, God's going to come back and he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. And I've got news for you. When he comes back, he's not coming back as a humble Jewish carpenter. But when he steps foot on the Mount of Olives, the Bible says that the mountain, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. That when he puts his foot on the mountain, it's going to break forth east from west. And it's going to split down the middle. And all of the irrigation is going to shift. And all of a sudden, what was dead is going to become alive again, and God's going to resurrect the Dead Sea. But more importantly, he's coming back to resurrect creation. He's coming back to lift the bonds of sin. He's coming back to gather a people. He's coming back to redeem his chosen. You're going to flee to the valley of the mountains. For the valley and the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, he shall flee like as he fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come and all his saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there will be one Lord and his name one. One Lord and his name one. There is not going to be the appearance of a Trinity on that mountain. There's going to be one man. And he's going to have all the power. And all Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. If he has all power, what's reserved left for God? I tell you, God was there. And he will be standing on the mountain. And he's going to look at his people, the God of creation, the God of Deuteronomy 6 and 4. And they're going to see what nail prints in his hands. And they're going to say, where did you get the nail prints? And he's going to say, I received these in the house of my friends. And they're going to fall down and worship him. One Lord and his name one. This passage, I know I'm reading a lot of scripture, but this is what the Holy Ghost wants us to do, and this is what we're going to do. This passage dovetails perfectly with Ezekiel 47. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house and the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about in the way without unto the other gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. What you felt in the house tonight, what you felt during the worship service tonight, was the river of God coming through this sanctuary. I had a young lady at a very early age came to me. She came to me probably at about 13 years old. And she said, Stephen, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was standing in the back of the sanctuary. And I hope I get this right because my memory's not great. But she said, I was standing in the back of the sanctuary and I was holding a lamp. And she said, the lamp had oil in it, and as I was holding the lamp in the back of the sanctuary, the oil began to run out of the lamp. She had no idea the symbolism or the metaphorical language that was happening, and then she was just describing it to me, and she said the oil kept running out of the lamp, and it kept running out of the lamp, and I was so scared. I was trying to catch it and put it back, but I couldn't stop it. It was running over the lamp, and she said it got to the point where it wasn't oil anymore, but it was water. And she said it, as it continued to run out of the lamp, she said it started to fill the sanctuary. And I was like, oh my word, what's happening here? And she's trying to put it back, and she doesn't understand what's happening, but the oils continue. It's becoming water and it's filling the house. And she said it got to the place where I realized that if I couldn't stop it, it was going to consume me. I was going to drown. And she said, but I didn't. She said, as the water continued to run out of the lamp, she said, I started to float. And she said, as I started to float, it lifted me higher and higher toward the ceiling. And finally, somebody came to the front door, and they opened the door, and water gushed out of the sanctuary. And it ran. I'm talking about a 13-year-old kid. I'm talking about somebody who's just consecrating their life, and somebody who's just praying to God, and somebody who's trying to figure everything out, somebody whose dad walked out, and who's confused and everything's not perfect in her life, but she's got a relationship with God and she's filled with the Spirit of God. And she called me about 6 months ago and she said, "Oh my word, Stephen, I was reading in the Word of God and I see my dream." And it's been a lot of years and there's been a lot of water under the bridge, but I've come to tell you, she's in the house of God and she's worshiping tonight because there is a river. There is a river. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. The water is rising. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters to the loins. And afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And now he's looking out from what flowed out of the house of God. He's looking out at a mighty river. I've come to tell you something tonight. I don't care what this world does. I don't care what culture does. I want to be a part of a church where there's a river flowing. Because if the river of God flows out of the house, if the Holy Ghost is moving in and out of our lives, if we can continue to have the water flowing, your family can be saved. Your lost loved ones, there, listen, they may be hundreds of miles away and they don't even know what's happening, but somewhere in a prayer room, somebody's touching God, and because they are, there is a river. Somewhere in a classroom, somebody's preaching the Word of God to your babies, and then they're laying their hands on them and they're praying in the Holy Ghost, and because they are, there is a river. And somewhere in a school, there's a Bible study being taught and those kids can't even see it. You see, it's an invisible water source, but it's flowing down. It's the natural outcropping, the overflow of a mountaintop experience with God, and it's weaving its way into Tarrant High School because there is a river. And some kid there who doesn't even understand it one day is going to begin to feel something, and he's going to go to Xavier and he's going to say, "Man, tell me more about that experience. Tell me how you stayed sane in the middle of chaos. Tell me how you didn't get a girl pregnant before you were 19 years old. Tell me how you stayed safe. Tell me how you kept living for God. Because there is a river. There is a river. And it flows from the throne of God." Out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. That's the prophecy. Out of you, I remember, Brother Terrell, I remember very well being a 7-year-old kid seeking for the Holy Ghost. I remember where I was standing. I guess it, a little town called Plottenville, if I'm not mistaken. Apostolic Church. I remember being in a prayer line, having some kids come through, and I had sought for the Holy Ghost, and I was frustrated. And I'll tell you, there's something to this. It wasn't until I started praying for somebody else. I laid my hands on another kid, and my grandmother was so wise. She would have us lay hands on our friends. I didn't see... Having somebody other than a minister lay hands on somebody a lot of places is like off limits. But she did that. She taught us at an early age that you could lay hands on somebody and they can get healed. So we had an expectation. So in Sunday school class, at an early age, we had prayer lines. The kids would come through and they'd tell you what they needed. And kids are pretty blunt. They're pretty honest. So as they came through, I remember laying my hands on a kid in front of me. And I started praying for him and I felt real compassion flow out of me. And when I did, I just felt something well up inside of me. It was an emotion that I couldn't really articulate or identify very well. But as I started to pray for him, I started to cry. And when I started to weep, my grandmother came over and put her hand on my forehead. She said, "Baby, what you feel is the Holy Ghost. Just talk to God." And man, I started to worship him. And when I did, a heavenly language started to erupt out of me, something I had tried to figure out and articulate that I couldn't, and a wellspring of living water. And guess what? I probably talked in tongues today for over an hour. In my prayer time, in these church services, when I'm worshiping across the front, I'm still talking in tongues. And today in Sunday school, guess what? Four kids got the Holy Ghost. Because you know what? This is not manufactured. Out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. The Dead Sea metaphorically represents the human race that was cut off from God. But Jesus, when he died, the Bible said the earth began to shake. And all of a sudden it got dark in the sky. And the veil in the temple was torn in two, top to bottom. And the Spirit of God was no longer confined to a natural temple. And when that happened, the Spirit of God was released into the earth. And Jesus came back and told his disciples, go and wait for the promise of the Father. He said, I'm going to send it in my name. What's his name? When the Holy Ghost comes, whose name is it going to be in? Jesus' name. He said, I'm going to send it in my name. So the disciples went 50 days after the resurrection. Lindsay, you can go ahead and come. I'm going to shorten this sermon by 15 pages. The pastor told me recently, he said, you know what? You might over-prepare a little bit. Waiting for the promise. Waiting 50 days. They had a business meeting. They did a lot of stuff. No rain. The riverbed of the human soul was dry and parched and cracked. Ground waiting for water. No rain. Jesus, he had a strange ministry. He would just stop by and tease folks. I mean, John chapter 3, John chapter 4, he's talking to Nicodemus. He's promising Nicodemus stuff that's not even available yet. We get in John, in the discussion with the woman at the well in Samaria, the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he's teasing people. He's got this woman. She's like, she's going and telling her friends, come and see a man who told me everything. This man didn't tell you everything you ever did. He just told you about your five divorces. And she's like, sir, give me this water. Has anybody ever felt that before? You've been on a business trip and you've been out of the house of God for a little while. And like you're pulling up to the front door and you're looking in and the praise group's already da-dun, da-dun. And you're like, oh man, it's about to be on. I've been away for a little while before from a prayer room, Tuesday night prayer, Zach, some of those prayer meetings we used to have. And man, it would be Tuesday at 5:30 and I'm calling Dawson. I'm like, hey man, you ready? Hey man, I feel something in my spirit already. I feel the Holy Ghost. God's been talking to me. We ain't even started praying yet. Give me that water. I gotta have it. I'm a dying man. I'm a thirsty man. My life's a mess. I need some water to flow in my life. That's kind of like half invested. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, do we have any quizzers? They were all with one accord and in one place. And what else? And suddenly there came a sound. There's some places around Birmingham. You can't do nothing suddenly. There's some churches. You better not move suddenly. They will throw you out. You start moving real suddenly, they're going to think you having a seizure. Are you trying to rob somebody? Don't move too suddenly. But see, people are crazy. They tell me things like, well, your doctrine goes back to Azusa. My doctrine don't go back to Azusa Street. What? Azusa Street was like, I mean, my word, come on. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. What I see in my imagery, because sometimes you got to fill in the gaps. It's like they're sitting there having a business meeting. You're talking about 50 days chilling, hanging out, you know, doing apostle stuff, like waxing their sandals, polishing their sandals. We're not going to do that. Doing apostle stuff. And then all of a sudden, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. So what I see happening is I see something happening in the spirit world. It's like it's been dry and dead for a long time, but all of a sudden some spiritual storm clouds started to roll in and the wind started to blow. And I see some old-fashioned shutters hanging on the hinges, and they're sitting there and they're like, come on, Jesus, you told us to go and wait. We're here waiting. What are you going to do? Show up. Do something. I'm thirsty. You've been bragging about this Holy Ghost for a long time. Let's see some action. And then all of a sudden, those shutters started to shake. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't quiet. It wasn't reserved. It was rushing and mighty wind. And before the water came, the wind came and started blowing clouds around and started creating an atmosphere. There's something about the wind blowing on an afternoon and the clouds rolling in. You get those goosebumps on your arm and you're like, "Ooh, I feel something." I've been in an apostolic church many a times when the praise group starts singing. I've been in prayer meetings before when the Holy Ghost starts moving, and all of a sudden I start to feel something moving in my spirit. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Now, Brother Burt's a clinical anesthesiologist at UAB. Brother Keith is a pharmacist. Brother Terrell is an attorney. Distinguished people. Successful people. Brother Terrell, do you talk in tongues? Are you serious? You tell your clients this?
Yes.
This guy's got next to his attorney at law certificate, he has his baptismal certificate. Hey, if you got credentials, just go ahead and show them off. I was there when suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. Brother Bert, do you talk in tongues? Do you do it often? Every day? Brother Keith, do you talk in tongues? You guys could get fired for talking like that. Not really. They couldn't fire you for your religious belief. He's self-employed. That would be kind of crazy. You would have to go see Brother Bert and Brother Keith. You started trying to fire yourself. Do you talk in tongues? Brother Jerry, do you talk in tongues? I tell you what. And I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but stand up tonight if you talk in tongues. Thank you. Now listen, if you don't talk in tongues, we don't think you're crazy. If you don't, you can, this, I'm doing Brother Prado right now. I'm filtering about five things. No, I'm not going to talk about that. Yeah, okay, I'll pull that down. We'll talk about that. When Peter was explaining to the crowd gathered around Jerusalem the bizarre and seemingly crazy behavior that had erupted out of this upper room, he used the word drunk. If you act drunk in a lot of churches around Birmingham, they will not stop and have a theological dissertation and discussion with you. They will not break down the hermeneutics. They will escort you to the door. But this experience, this river, this Spirit of God experience started in an upper room in Jerusalem. And at the inception, the birth of the church, there was some noise. There was some excitement, some exuberance that had bled over into the street. And it had gotten so crazy, the party had gotten so hot in Jerusalem that the people there were like, man, these people are nuts. They're drunk already. And Peter stood up with the 11 and he said, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. Let me qualify that. Those prophecies came not in old time by the will of man, but men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. So you got Mr. Joel over there prophesying that in the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out. I believe Joel was having a Holy Ghost fit himself. I believe that the anointing of God had settled upon him and he was just having a prayer meeting and he said, something in the last days, saith God. Write it down, scribe. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Write it down. Your young men are going to see visions, and your old men are going to dream dreams. Upon your servants and on your handmaidens, I will pour out of my spirit in the last days. Does anybody tonight have a river of living water springing up in your life? I've got a river of living water. I've got a river of living water. You should have been there when I prayed through. The church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I felt the Spirit moving all over me. I've got a river. Does anybody have a river tonight? All right, so we're going to have a party for just a little bit. What I want to do first of all, I would first of all like everybody who just wants to have a throwdown Holy Ghost party just to come down to the front right quick. I mean like worshiping Jesus, getting drunk. Where's Dawson? Come here, boy.
Got an extra mic? Now, some of y'all looking too cute to do what you're about to do. Some of y'all look at y'all not looking drunk yet. Not yet. So what we're going to do for just a few minutes is we're just going to have an apostolic party. You know, at apostolic parties, people roll. Do we have any holy rollers here tonight? See, these are my friends right here. They'll back me up. What we're going to do for the next few minutes, we're going to crank it up. And we're going to have a Holy Ghost. You could listen, as long as it's, you know, fairly decent, whatever you got in your mind, you can go ahead and just do something different. If you want to just run up on the stage and roll, you can roll. We roll, we run, we dance, we twirl. The prophet said, I tried to hold it in, but I couldn't, because it's like fire shut up in my bones. I feel fire shut up in my bones. When you've got a river of living water springing up in you, you can't hold it back. When you've got to overflow at the top, it's got to find a way down the mountain. I've got a river. All right. Now, some of our young people may need some help with this because most of them haven't been clubbing, Brother Butch. They don't know about what y'all used to do. And only you know what you used to do. Ah! There's some secrets locked up in. All right, you ready? All right, we're gonna have a Holy Ghost fit for just a minute. It's a programmed fit. We're about to have a show enough move of God. Are you ready? Are y'all ready? All right, 1, 2, 3.
have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, felt the Spirit moving all over me.
You should have been there when I prayed through.
When God gave me a revelation.
revelation of who he was. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. God, all of God was in Jesus. All of him was in Christ Jesus. He came and died for my sins. I got a reason to praise him. I got to praise him. Hallelujah. He came. His blood was shed on Calvary for my sins. Oh, what a revelation it is to know that there's one Lord. It wasn't three. The King of Ages came down, robed himself in flesh, and came and died for my sins. Oh, what a revelation that is. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah. If you believe that, you come on, shout. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. You ought to shout. You've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Come on, shout. Lift up your voice and shout. Ah, this is an apostolic church. I came to have shout. Shout. Come on, lift up your voice and shout with the voice of triumph. Shout. Lift up your voice. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on. He's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy of all the glory. Lift up the name of the Lord. Lift him up.
The Jordan stream, step to the water. The water was cold, chill my body, but not my soul.
Don't believe I've been redeemed. Follow me down to the
Jordan
stream, step to the water. The water was cold, chill my body, but not my soul.
You don't believe I've been redeemed. Follow me down to the Jordan stream. I stepped in the water. The water was cold, it chilled.
And the truth. Lord.
Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody give him some praise. You don't
been redeemed. Follow me down to the Jordan Street. Stepped in the water. The water was cold. Chilled my body, but not my soul.
Just a second. If there's anybody in the house tonight that needs the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken in tongues and you want the gift of God, I want you to come up to the front. Along with those, there's anybody who needs a healing tonight. The water is troubled. The question is, wilt thou be made whole? Will you be made whole? Does anybody need a healing tonight? Does anybody need to be filled with the Spirit of God? Come on up to the front. The Spirit of God is willing and able and ready. To the front. Come up right here. You need a healing. Do you mind if one of these precious ladies hold your baby for a minute so you can pray? All right. All right, all right. What's your name, man?
Antoine,
I'm Stephen. Nice to meet you. Have you ever received the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost? Okay. All right, we're going to pray that God renew you right now, but also we're going to pray for whatever you need in your body. You want God to do something for you? All right, we're going to pray for you. What's your name? Leah. All right, we're going to pray for you. You have the Holy Ghost, Leah? God will fill you with His Spirit and you'll talk in other tongues. Jacob has diabetes? Cancer? Anything else? Heart? What? Diabetes? Heart, diabetes, heart, cancer.
Me too.
Yes. What is? He's the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. You want to get the Holy Ghost tonight? You want God's Spirit to fill you? You want to feel the best thing you've ever felt in your life? God's going to give you His Spirit tonight. What do you need God to do? Yes. Your back. Does anybody believe that God can heal a back tonight? Does anybody believe that God can heal diabetes tonight? All right. We're going to pray, but what I would like to do right now is I would like for somebody to come and stand with each one of these that has a need. I need somebody standing with our friend Antoine here. We're going to pray that God fill him again with the Holy Ghost. We have two kids here that need the Holy Ghost. Come here with Dane. And what we're going to do is we're going to crank it back up just as hot as it was before. We have someone here who needs healing from cancer. I believe that the report. What? I need somebody to stand with him for his eye. He needs God to heal his eye. And what we're going to do is they're going to crank the music back up. And when we do this, we're going to pray down. We're going to pray down the fire of God on every sacrifice here. We're going to pray down healing. Are you ready? All across the house, I need somebody standing with each of these. Now, I need the rest of you to stretch out in this direction and begin to make it rain. Somebody lift up a praise to God right now. All across the house, let it roar. Come on, let that river flow. Yes, 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 yes. Listen, wherever you're standing, God can feel you all across the house. Every hand lifted, every heart lifted. Oh, you should have been there.
Holy Ghost River. I've got a river.
the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my head, the sole of my feet, felt the Spirit moving all over me.
You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire with the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my head, the sole of my feet, felt the Spirit moving all over me.
Fire and the Holy Ghost too.